You did an Elvis impression for an audition today.
Oh my God. Yeah, I did pretty well. Just me saying pretty well a bunch of times really fast.
It was really bad.
It was so bad.
They asked for it to be bad.
They said it should be bad, and I leaned into it bad. Mm-hmm. Pretty
well. Yeah, Austin Butler would be... He would be so offended that you think that's what Elvis sounds like.
Well, I'm offended that he thinks that's what Elvis sounds like. Because I knew the real Elvis, and mm-hmm. he did not sound like that.
Hello, hello, and welcome to one of our recap episodes, where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas watching Degrassi The Next Generation from beginning to end. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and join me every other week with Ezra Parter as we watch these characters do whatever it takes and make it through.
Welcome back. This is Cuckoo Bananas! Exclamation point, a Degrassi colon, The Next Generation podcast.
Thank you for welcoming me back.
Oh, yeah, of course. I am your host, Keely Bell, and I am joined by...
Me. Hi, I'm Ezra Parter.
Yay. Yay, yay, yay.
I'm the boyfriend.
Yes, you are. Oh, right. We haven't said our tag in a while. I'm Keely Bell, a self-proclaimed Degrassi expert, and this is my boyfriend, Ezra, who knows nothing.
About Degrassi. Mm-hmm. That was a good tag. We should, yeah, we should.
Yeah, we should really remember to say that yeah, every time.
that's a funny joke.
It is really funny,
and I'm sure our audience likes hearing it every episode.
They really do, and I forget. We like get so far into the we have to start talking about the episode so fast, or like talk about like what we've been up to.
Yeah, we have to start talking about the episode so fast. But before we get to that, we do have to talk about what we've been up to.
Yeah, yeah. But like every like week to week, it's rarely anything. Mm-hmm, we haven't really been up to anything.
Well, last night we went to a writers meetup.
We did. We talked to other writers.
That was cool.
It was fun. We hung out with people that are like minded and cool.
Yeah.
We got dinner and I did karaoke because there was karaoke happening, but like it was so dead. And I was like, I had a song in my heart and it needed to get out. And so I sang You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette.
Do I have permission to post you on my Instagram doing that song?
Of course.
Oh, hell yeah.
You don't post me on your Instagram any other time.
Well,
I'll take it where I can get it.
Oh, I just don't use my Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, I post shows and stuff, but that's... I'm not trying to get people to come to you, you know? Mm.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can post that on your Instagram.
Okay, I'm going to.
Thank you.
We bought a bed.
We bought a bed.
Yeah, a bed frame. Mm-hmm. Because Keely's going to move in.
Yeah.
Which is exciting news.
That's I think, the thing that's that we should probably have
really
mentioned.
Really where we start the story. But it's unclear exactly when, but as soon as Daniel finds a new place, kind of. Mm-hmm. So it could be like tomorrow. It could be in a couple months. But we're preparing by removing the one piece of furniture I love the most, my bed frame.
That's not true. In fact, I think every single time I'm here, you're like, this piece of shit.
Yeah. And she's coming in. She's taking away my favorite thing to sleep on, my piece of shit bed.
And you know what's funny is that when you love something, you abuse it just like Rick.
Oh, no. Never compare me to Rick.
Oh, I'm kidding. But that was too good of a segue to not take.
That was such a good joke. It hurt a lot, but it was a good joke.
Yeah, but no, like... we'll get to the episode, but like, you know, yeah, every single time we are here, your bed one breaks and two, you go, this piece of shit. So I am glad to be getting rid of it.
Yeah, me too. I am too. And the one we picked, I think we both are going to really, 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 really be happy with.
Me too. It's funny. When we were looking for beds, we went on Facebook Marketplace and someone had this bed. And we tried to find it, but they sold it. Or we tried to get it, but they sold it before we were able to see it. And then we went and looked at a million other beds. We, in our brains, went to Japan. Mm-hmm. We looked at Japanese-style beds.
I decided Japanese beds were the right kind of beds. I don't know why.
Well, no, you said because they're stronger.
Yes.
And it's the way that they're built. And, yeah.
All wood, no screws.
Yeah. And, yeah, not having to deal with hardware is honestly probably great.
Yeah.
and we looked like all at all these Japanese style beds. We looked at these like different like kind of slat beds that are just kind of like flat
slabs, but they're so expensive.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
And poorly reviewed.
And then yeah.
Looking at you, Floyd, the bed.
Well, it's because it's so, I think what it is, it's not that it's a bad bed at all. It's that people can't justify spending as much money as they did.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah.
And yeah, especially because look, we don't need to get into the weeds about how these beds work, but that one is one that like they send you all the pieces and they're like, you do it.
Exactly.
And then people do it wrong and they're like, hey, it didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I spent $3,000 on this. Yeah. Yeah. Which, it doesn't.
Oh, God. $3,000. I hope it wasn't that much.
It wasn't. It was like $2,000. But still. That's too much for a bed.
Way too much. We did not spend that much, I promise.
No. And yeah. And so
we're not using our listeners' hard-earned cash that they give us every month.
I make no money from this podcast. I make zero money from this
podcast.
Oh, weird.
I make so much.
But
I set up a Patreon for this.
But at the end of the day, we just ended up buying the bed, the very first bed that we saw and liked new instead of off of Marketplace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so
we had to spend a little bit more, but it's, you know, we're going to have it.
Yeah, we're going to have it. And I really like it.
Yeah.
It's interesting looking and cute. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be lower to the ground.
It's going to be low to the ground. Yeah, listeners, if you have a bed that's low to the ground, tell us how you like it. Because we came up with a plan to raise it if we need to. But
yeah. We're hoping not to need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But your mattress is like thick. So
thick.
Hopefully that adds
some
height.
Yeah. Yeah, I love my mattress. I'm glad that when you move in, you're comfortable keeping it.
Yeah, your mattress is great. Yeah, I have to sell my mattress. So,
listeners, if you're interested in buying a mattress, write in. Let us know.
If any of you have back problems, I had bought one for what I thought was a back problem back before I had cancer. So, it's great for that.
If you've always been like, man, I wish I could sleep on the same bed that Keely sleeps in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wished that for a long time and now I get to, but you could too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Or if you've always thought, like, I wish I could sleep in a bed that Ezra's farted on, like this one.
Yeah.
It's for sale.
Yep.
He doesn't fart. It's just me.
No. Yeah. No, I don't fart at all. I am a woman. but yeah, that's what we've been up to. I'm glad. I hope you enjoyed that whole discussion about beds. This is what being in your late 20s is. And
true.
Early 30s for you.
Okay. I thought I was in my late 20s. I got to relive those days for like 2 seconds. It was great. And then you took it all away.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Reality. Yeah, I'm a baby. I'm a baby. I don't know what you're talking
Please
about.
Please don't say that. It makes me really creepy.
But yeah, now that we've given the listener a bit of update on our lives,
mm-hmm. It's time for them to update us on theirs. Mm-hmm. So, okay, go ahead. Tell us what's up. Nice. Thank you for
telling
us.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a very Dora the Explorer.
Really?
You never watched Dora the Explorer?
I know about Swiper not swiping.
Oh, she like talks to the viewer. So she'll be like, do you see the bananas in the tree? Where are the bananas? Great. That's
got it. Giving the kids time to talk to the TV.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Like Dora just sits there and stares at you while you're like, the bananas are in the corner. And she was like, great.
What if you're still talking?
That used to happen to me all the time.
Because you're giving detailed responses.
Yeah.
The bananas are in the corner over by the fern.
Yeah. It's up. It's under the leaves. Those three leaves. we watched Degrassi The Next Generation season 4 episode 4 today, Mercy Street.
We did,
and it was an interesting one, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It had the two elements that I like in mm-hmm. a Degrassi episode, which are a fun dumb plot and a more heavy plot that's handled pretty mm-hmm. in a way that's like not overly dramatic.
I knew you'd like, I had a feeling you'd like this A plot.
Yeah.
Because it is morally gray. It mm-hmm. doesn't take a hard stance.
Right.
And I like that about it as well. But your prediction was pretty on it. Do you remember what you predicted?
I think I predicted JT and Manny sex stuff.
No, you didn't. No, not at all.
Oh, what did I predict?
You predicted, because I said that the A plot was Emma, and it had to do with Rick.
Oh, I think Emma dating Rick was probably.
No, that was your joke prediction.
Oh, okay.
But you had said Emma, because I told you, like, no, she does not pursue him romantically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you had said that you think she's going to plan like a protest against him at the school. You were like, she finds out that he's coming back to school and she's going to like plan a protest or something. You didn't say those exact words, but basically what you meant.
God, I'm smart and good.
Yeah, that was really good. Thank you. When you said it last week, I was like having to like hide my face. Like, wow. Okay. Nice. Interesting. Interesting prediction.
Hear that, writer's rooms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hire us.
Yeah. But yeah,
I'm really into asking our audience to do things today.
You are. I don't understand. It's audience participation.
It sure is.
Which reminds me, my Broadway Beat article still hasn't been posted. Oh. And I'm like, you've got till Halloween, friends.
You hear that, audience? Publish her Broadway Beat.
Like, you have till Halloween. It's a Halloween article. But so yeah, let's get into it.
Let's do.
So we open up the episode on the steps of Degrassi and the gang, our page spinner, Marco, and now Alex has been added to the
Alex
gang.
Is in the gang
and
now.
I love that. I love that. They're standing on the steps of Degrassi, staring out at the parking lot where Rick is with his mom talking to, I believe, Radich, Principal Radich.
Yeah.
And Emma shows up. And she's like trying to figure out why they're all staring menacingly at this guy. and she asks, like, who's that? And they tell her, like, Spinner tells her, like, oh, you remember our friend Terry, who was in the hospital last year? The writers, they like minimize Terry's existence a bit in this episode. Did you feel that?
Yeah.
Because like Emma knew Terry.
Right.
They spoke on a few occasions.
Yeah, totally.
So it's like they didn't have to say, you remember that girl that was in a coma last year. They would just be like, oh yeah, you remember Terry.
Yeah.
Like you spoke to Terry. Yeah. Emma's the one who gossiped to Terry in season two that she thought that Liberty was being molested by Coach Armstrong.
That's right.
So like like she knows Terry. Anyway, and they're like, that's the guy that put her in a coma. And Emma's like, oh, Amy, why is he back here? And they're like, beats the fuck out of us.
Yeah, he beats the fuck out of Terry and he beats the fuck out of us right now. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, we should do something. And they're like, and Alex is like, well, Marco and I will handle that with Principal Radich.
Right, because they're the government now.
They're the government. Alex is the government. Are they Obama and Biden or are they Trump and Pence?
I feel like it's more...
It's more of a Trump-Pence dynamic, isn't it?
I guess so. I was going to say it's like Biden-Kamala because
sure.
It's like the guy who nobody wants and the girl who everybody's like, I think she's going to beat everybody's ass if she's president.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're Biden and Kamala. And so then the credits happen.
I wish Marco was older for that joke, but that's fine.
I mean, I don't think that would affect it too much.
That's true.
Yeah. So also, how is he class president as a junior?
Doesn't make any sense.
That makes zero sense.
Yeah. Because he's not. Maybe he's not class president. He's student body president.
So you mean like the president of the junior class
of the whole school?
Yeah.
Not of the class, but of the school.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, like, how is he student body president as a junior? That shouldn't your student body president be a senior?
No, my class president was the student body president for 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, everybody loved her.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. That's, she has her own business.
That's awesome. Of course she does. Mm-hmm. Those girls always do.
And two kids.
Good for her.
And a house in San Diego.
Ooh.
That her mom bought her.
I mean. That's how she got into the government in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The rich get richer.
That's true.
And so the credits happen. And then we come to our B plot. We get to the B plot right away in this episode. Where they, JT and Manny, and Toby and Liberty are all at Liberty's house in her hot tub. hanging out, and Manny's so excited that they're going to be 10th graders this year. They're going to turn 16. And she's talking to Liberty, and she's like, we're going to be 16 this year. And she looks over at JT, and JT is being a baby. He's being little JT, just joking around. And oh yeah, he also, before this, had made a pull my finger joke and farted.
Yeah, he was like, here, take my hand. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she did.
Yeah. And Manny was like grossed out by that, mm-hmm. and was like, And so.
And I want to say, while that was happening, Toby was in the back, just like dead faced in sunglasses. And I was like, is Toby baked right now? What? Listener, go back and watch this episode just for this scene with Toby. It's so brief, but it's so insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just looks. I think what it is that Jake Goldsby just didn't feel like acting at that moment.
that's exactly what it is.
He was like, I'm going to sunbathe.
He's like, I'm in the background. I'm going to nap.
Yeah. And so Manny's looking over at JT, and he and Toby are just like being like boys.
Yeah, they're kind of like play wrestling.
Yeah. And Liberty's like, here's to leaving childish things behind. And Manny's like, yeah. Leaving childish things behind. And you were like, oh no.
My boy's about to get dumped.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, I knew. I forgot that was like how this episode started. And I was like, oh, right. We know from the beginning that Manny's going to break up with him in this episode. And yeah, I felt bad for you finding out in that moment.
Yeah. I do like them, but it frees him up to go after Paige again.
Yeah, maybe.
Just don't tell me he ends up with Alex.
No, he doesn't.
I don't want him to get hurt.
Why would Alex hurt him? She's against mean. Domestic violence.
That's true.
She made that very clear.
Later in the episode. Yeah, I didn't mean physically. I meant emotionally.
Why would she hurt him emotionally?
I don't know. She just seems mean.
She is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's you got that right.
Yeah.
I forget that Alex is still dating Jay at this point. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I forgot.
I guess that's going to end. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You know what? I need to watch what I say. So, yeah. So then JT goes to jump in the hot tub. And
because Liberty's brother brings out an ironing board to be a diving board. And you're like, don't dive into the hot tub.
Yeah. That sounds like a disaster.
I thought that's where the episode was going. I was like, this is the episode where JT breaks his neck. Oh no.
I was like, gets a head wound, dies.
And then gets broken up with. Breaks his neck and his heart. A heavy episode.
But JT climbs on top of the ironing board and goes to jump into the hot tub and potentially injure himself for life.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny saves his life and pantses him. and Toby sees JT's penis and he says, oh, it's a stack of dimes. to which I say, I would just like to say, Toby Isaacs, you are 5'4". You better watch your mouth. I don't think he's dealing with much more down there.
I wouldn't think so. Also, the idea, listen, male friendships are a complicated thing, mm-hmm. but the idea that that's the first time Toby's seen JT's dick is crazy to me.
I mean, it probably isn't, but I think
the first time he's called it out in front of Manny.
Yes. Yeah. Because they were in front of girls. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, like, because like, yeah, if you're just seeing your friend's dick, like, yeah, it's bro code. You don't.
Yeah, it's bro code. You just suck it and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you don't like talk mean about it while it's just the two of you.
Right, you kiss
but
it.
But in front of girls. But in front of girls, he wants to, like, make fun of him.
Yeah, you can't kiss it in front of girls.
Yeah. And so then we go to school the next day. I feel like this episode takes, like, place over a lot of days because it feels
really
like
does.
We're like jumping, like it's always like the next day at school, the next day at school, every other scene. So the next day at school, Marco and Alex tried to talk to Radish, and all Radish told Marco was, I always knew you were a smart boy, Marco. Marco's like mad that that's what he said.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything, and I don't understand how it's contextually related to what Marco was supposed to be asking about.
That's the thing. That's exactly it. is that Radich, what's the word I'm looking for? He
fully dodges the question.
Dodges the question and just goes like, Marco, you're so smart. And Marco's like, that doesn't do shit. We want this abuser out of our halls. And yeah, they didn't get through to him. And Rick comes over to the gang and says hi. And Emma is like, well, since they couldn't get Radich to do something, then we have to take it into our own hands. Mm-hmm. She goes up to Rick and like bullies him, essentially, like doesn't let him pass in the hallway. And he's like, and then he's like, Emma, please let me get to class. And then Mr. Radich comes up and is like, Emma, this isn't one of your crusades. Like, this is a person and he's just at our school. Like, you're going to have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And he lets Rick go.
You know, stay away from him. Yeah. The message.
Yeah. And Emma's like, no, because she, you know, once Emma has an idea in her head, she's never going to rest until it's been understood by everyone around her.
She's going to protest it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, this was it. The portrayal of bullying in this episode is so, it is, like I said earlier, like it is very complex and not at all once, like it's not, they don't take a clear side on who's right and wrong in this situation, because in on one hand, you have this boy at school who was violent toward a person and ruined her life and came back to school and tried to act like nothing happened. And people retaliating on that. And then you have, but on the other hand, you you have like, should children in school be the enforcers of the law?
Right.
Like, it's like, you can't be the judge, jury, and executioner here.
And on top of that, there's the question of like, well, what, why does Emma get herself involved in this? Like,
because she likes being popular.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, for Emma, she's not doing it for the right reasons.
No, Emma's not doing it for the right reasons. Remember when I said last episode that she's entering her menace era?
Yeah, this is her villain turn for sure. last episode started it. This is a clear indication that we're going down that road.
Yeah.
But like, truly, if it was Paige ringleading this, I think it's a much different conversation with Radich than with Emma.
Right. Because with Emma, like, she is that this is what she's known for.
Right.
She's known for just having strong opinions and, you know, making them all heard and
making,
like,
everything about her.
Making everything about her.
Right.
And but Paige has a personal connection to this. Mm-hmm. She is the reason, or she's not the reason, that Terry got put in the hospital, but she was part of that day that like led up to Rick putting Terry in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So she has like a personal connection to this. And like, but I also think that is why Paige ends up reaching out to Emma later on, because she is too emotionally invested.
Totally.
And like being, it's harder to do something when you have all of your emotions in the way. Emma can just be laser focused on one thing here. Mm-hmm. She's not thinking about Terry. She's not thinking about any of the stuff that Paige and Spinner and them are thinking about. She's just like, ooh, target. Gotta go for that target.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so interesting. It's so interesting. Then JT goes up to Manny at the lockers. And Manny is like, JT kisses her on the mouth. Mm-hmm. And she's like, he asks her like, do we have plans on Friday? And she's like, oh, like, I don't know if I want to hang out on Friday. And he's like, you've been kind of weird. Is it because of my small penis is what he doesn't say that, but like in so many
what
words.
What you saw at the hot tub.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And she's like, no, what? No, it's fine.
Right.
And he's like, cause what does she say that makes him say, would a kiss make it better?
Oh, she says like, oh no, he says like, was it what happened at the hot tub? And she's like, no, that was embarrassing and mean.
Oh,
what Danny
right,
essentially.
Right, yeah. And he's like, oh, a kiss would make it better. So he's trying to get a kiss off her.
Yeah. And so then they kiss, but she's like clearly like not into it. And she opens her eyes and sees Craig coming down the hall and like pushes JT off of her and goes, Craig, hi, how was your summer? And he's like, I'm good. How are you? I love Manny and her like obsession with Craig is. I love it. Mm. It's insane. Cause like at this point, like last season, we thought we had put that behind us.
Fully thought it was over.
We fully thought it was over. And yet she is still over here like, Craig.
Yeah.
I love the way she says Craig's name too. She's like, Craig.
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 I like that she's like, well, how was your summer? And he's like, or like, did you do much this summer? He's
right.
Like, not much. And she's like, oh yeah, I didn't do much either. And JT's like, wait.
Yeah.
We dated all summer.
Yeah.
I think something happened this summer.
No, it was, Craig asked if he was interrupting anything. And Manny's like, no, you weren't interrupting anything.
That too. Yeah. That too. Yeah. the summer line really got me though.
That, yeah. And so JT is like, he's mad about it. And so then he is in the locker room, and he's like pissed about it. And he's like, Craig doesn't respect my relationship with Manny. And I was like, okay, all he did was say hi to her. Like,
yeah, for real. But then Craig comes in a towel and takes that towel off, and JT's eyes go directly to the dick.
Yeah. Because this is my favorite Craig fact. Huge dick.
Huge dick.
Like that is now so fun. Like the fact, first of all, the fact that adults sat in a room and they went, okay. And they went, okay, what can happen to JT in this moment to make him, first of all, okay. They looked at Ryan Cooley and went, he looks like he has a small dick. This child
has got some SDE.
Yeah. Ryan Cooley, small dick energy. Jake Epstein, big dick energy. I just can't imagine writing that for teens and then like, I don't know, just calling attention to a teenager's body in that way. Mm-hmm. Like that is insane to me. but it's what they did. And I'm so grateful that they did it. Cause that moment is so funny.
It's great.
When Craig is wearing the towel and JT walks up to him and he's like, you need to respect my relationship with Manny. And Craig's like, I do. And then he pulls his towel up and JT's like, well, you're always just kind of hanging down. And he sees his penis and he's like, I mean, around. And Craig's like, are you staring at my junk? And JT's like, no, no, no. And Spinner's like, JT, were you staring at his junk? And it was, just became a huge thing. And yeah, and as begins. Oh, yeah. And I don't think when I did my Craig episode, yeah. Like the character analysis one.
Yeah.
It's called The Meat of Craig. Parentheses Craig's meat. And now you understand why.
Wow, so this comes up more?
No.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no. I mean Craig's big dick energy, certainly.
Sure.
But like his big dick, I don't think so.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's just that's now my favorite fun fact about Craig. It's
no wonder Joey was hitting him up for money. What does that mean?
I would love to know.
He's just intimidated by his dick. He's
yeah.
Like, yeah, you must have more money than me.
That's sketch idea. Sketch idea. That's funny.
That is funny.
Like a guy who...
Like in the locker room, you're like, oh my God, did you see that guy's dick? He must be so rich.
He must be so rich. He must... What are like things that have nothing to do with the size of your dick? But like,
I know he's good at guitar.
Yeah.
His car probably like always starts.
Yeah. That's a sketch idea. That's funny. So then Rick goes to talk to Paige at her locker and she is like, get the fuck away from me. And he asks how Terry is and she like can't answer him because she's just so like in her feelings. Mm-hmm. And she runs away and cries in the bathroom. I also think like Paige just coming off of her trial with Dean. Like she's obviously no stranger to violence by men.
Right.
And so yeah, it does hurt Paige more that Rick is still there.
Definitely.
And that like Dean didn't, like Dean won the trial.
Yeah, she's just seeing men get away with their bad behavior.
Exactly.
Over and over again.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. so she is way too much in her feelings to really think objectively about this and do something and put anything into action. So when Emma follows her into the bathroom and sees Paige crying, and Paige is like, tell nobody about this. I'm like, okay, first of all, Paige, we know you cry. Like, this is an understandable time to be crying. Secondly, and then Paige goes, I'm not good at this protesting thing. And Emma's like, well, I am. and Paige goes, she's like,
immediately,
okay.
Yeah.
She goes, okay, well, meet us at the dot. And then Manny and Liberty are in the bathroom. And then Emma goes, oh, right, because Liberty's not inviting Emma to the hot tub party.
Right.
That's a part of it.
Yes.
That's a part of it. And I wish kind of, because I forgot, I wish they made a bigger deal out of that.
They did
on
at
Emma's
the
end.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They did at the top with Liberty, which I think we didn't cover in this conversation. But yeah, Liberty is intentionally refusing to let Emma come
to the hot tub.
Even though Manny
parties.
Is like, Emma would love to be in a hot tub.
Yeah. Yeah. Emma loves hot tubs. But like, I wish we saw Emma be affected by that more so that this kind of all, I mean, it makes sense to me.
Never see any friction between Emma and Liberty
right.
in this episode.
If Emma felt some type of way about not being invited to hot tub parties, then this would make sense. Like it already makes sense to me. I just think it would improve that.
Yeah, it would hit harder.
It would hit harder. She'd be like, oh, like I'm going to go to the dot. Have fun at your hot. My favorite line is I'm going to go sip a frap with Paige. Have fun in your hot tub. Menace.
Sip a frap
with Paige. That Frappuccinos must have been the new thing at that time.
Yeah.
Emma in her Menace era. Like, this is when people start really hating Emma.
Yeah,
this
I already did. So that's not good for me.
Yeah.
Hating is too strong a word, but I'm ready to hate her.
No, this is really where it starts.
Yeah.
She
was obnoxious.
She was obnoxious before, and now it's like, all right, girl. Like, and this is, like I said, she's in her Menace era, and I will admit that she is not a perfect person in this time in her life, but I think everyone needs to go through their Menace era. Manny's Menace era was last season.
True.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and now we love her.
That's true.
That's very true. So Ashley's Menace era, her whole life. So
seasons 1 through 9.
Yeah.
God, I hope she's not around for season.
She's
9.
Not.
Thank God.
I have in my notes, Paige is like, I'm not good at protests. And Emma's like, salute emoji. So then after school at the dot, where they're all sipping a frap. And also it's a green tea frap that Paige made clear, which I believe is a matcha frap. I think back then, like, matcha was less of a thing and green tea was what they were talking about.
Okay.
Because at Starbucks, the green tea frap was the matcha frap.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, sorry.
I'm just looking at you like, what's happening?
I just realized that I had like a really serious look on my face while I'm talking about
I was like,
the linguistics
this
of
is important somehow. What's happening?
But no, like at Starbucks, it used to be called a green tea frap, and now it is called a matcha frap. That's all. So then Rick comes to the dot while they're all there, and Paige is like, oh my God, I can't believe he's here. And they all like get up to start leaving. Mm-hmm. But Emma's like, no, like this, we were here first. Like this is where we're at.
This is our bar.
Yeah.
It's like, wait,
turf war.
Emma, you've never even been here before.
Yeah. And so
and
then
it's not a bar.
instead of letting Rick, you know, make them leave, Emma goes up to him at the bar of the diner. And she's like, we don't want you around. And he's like, Emma, I've changed. I'm in therapy. Like, let it go.
Mr. Radich said you can't mess with me. Please.
Yeah. And she's like, well, maybe that's not at, maybe not at Degrassi. And then she puts her hands on him. She takes him by the arm and shoves him out of the dot, closes the door on him, and holds the door closed so that he can't come back.
And I'm thinking, where is anybody who works at this place going, hey, lady, that's our customer.
Yeah, that was a paying customer. As we will find out in a couple scenes, that man has $500 in his account.
He was going to spend it all at the dot right now.
He was going to spend it all on milkshakes.
That man wrote me a check for $517.65.
It was $554.
Damn, I was close.
Yeah. But yeah, Emma's just really, really into the popular kids giving her all this attention now. Like, they all look at her and they're like, oh yeah, Paige says, Emma's cooler than me. And it's like, all right. Like, yeah, Emma's just like eating it up. She is so into this like popularity by proxy.
And they're also the grade older than her, right?
Yeah.
So that's like extra even bonus. Cooler. Like, yeah. You can be cool in your own grade, but to be cool in the next grade up.
Ooh. Yeah. Also, Rick is in Emma's grade.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand why that's important. I don't know why they said that in this
episode.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like, I'm thinking of like anything that happens in the future and with him, and I'm like, I don't think him being in the 10th grade like makes that at all. Like, I don't think that's at all important.
And I definitely assumed in all the other interactions with him that he was in Terry's grade.
He might. Okay, I think the only thing that I love.
Maybe he got held back.
That's what I'm. I love imposing a held back plot line on somebody when they like are being, when their age is being retconned. Because like, I think that does make sense in this case where he was in Paige's class, and then after what happened to Terry, he like left or like
didn't finish
school, and now has to like finish the 10th grade or something.
Yeah, I remember. That makes sense.
It does make sense. So I'm thinking that might be it.
Me too.
So then the next day at school, Emma and Paige are passing out orange ribbons for students against violence. Who comes up and says like, can't you not do this?
I don't remember who it is.
Someone asks Emma like, oh, isn't this against Radish's rules? And she's like, oh no, it's a silent protest. We're trying to pressure Rick to leave instead of pushing him out ourselves, which is what she did at the dot. But instead of like instead of asking Radish to kick him out, they're trying to pressure Rick to leave. Mm-hmm. And so they know. So like the goal is to raise awareness that Rick is an abuser and make it known to him that he's not welcome there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what they do. They want to make it clear that he's not welcome there. And all of the kids who, you know, got a ribbon from Emma, they bought a ribbon, they're all wearing their little ribbons all around school. Mm-hmm. We see them in a montage now bullying Rick throughout his entire day. So
it's like fully that movie, The Wave. Do you know that movie?
Never seen it.
Where basically like a teacher is like, as an experiment, empowers it's a Nazi allegory where it's like one faction of the school takes over and just bullies the shit out of another faction. And
interesting.
This reminded me of that, where it's like, oh, everybody wearing the ribbon is in The Wave, and they're beat the shit out of this kid Rick.
Interesting. Yeah. I've never heard of that. That's interesting.
It's a weird movie. It's good.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
All the kids that are wearing their ribbons are like pushing his books out of his hand, making it so that he can't sit next to them. Chris is like, don't sit next to me. Find somewhere else to sit, fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
And he goes to find another seat, and kids are like, no, you can't sit with us either. And he's effectively just being bullied every minute of every day in every class, between every class.
This is the most extra work we've seen on the show.
Yeah, like the extras had
left
so
and
much fun.
Right.
Yeah.
And they got to just do death stares and get in people's way. Mm-hmm.
I bet it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Danny finds JT in the bathroom and is like, I found a solution. I have a solution to your problem. And JT's like, what? And Danny pulls out a penis pump. It is green.
It's got a snake.
It has a snake on it.
It's huge.
It's huge. Have you ever looked into a penis pump?
I think that every pubescent boy thinks their penis is too small and tries to figure out what options they have. Except maybe, I guess, Craig.
Except Craig. Not Craig will never have that problem.
So I'll say I learned what my options were, and it turns out there aren't any. So I wouldn't say I ever got that far on a penis pump, but I definitely have read about it.
Okay. So like what they do is, They're basically like the Kylie Jenner lip challenge on your dick, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So like you it creates suction on your dick, and it just essentially like swells it.
Yeah, exactly.
Gross.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
Really unhealthy.
That can't be good for your penis. Mm-mm. But they go into the stall, and like, I think what's lovely about this scene, because honestly, the whole scene of them in the stall is not necessary. But I think what's lovely about that scene is the juxtaposition between what they're doing. So they're reading instructions for a penis pump, which is, you know, in a very adult thing to be doing, allegedly. But they can't keep a straight face and they don't know what to do. And they're like fumbling. I just think it was put in to like really show how immature JT and them are and how silly this is that he's worried about the size of his penis when his brain isn't even. It's his brain he should be worried about.
Yeah, you gotta let your brain drop before you worry about whether your balls are gonna.
Exactly.
No, I found this scene very relatable. Not that I've like done this exactly, but definitely the idea of a bunch of boys about to go through or currently going through puberty being like, what does this thing do?
Yeah.
How do I fix my dick?
Yeah.
Is very relatable.
I can imagine. I think a girl, something similar that happens, I think, to girls is like the boob question. I think what's more relatable, because there are some girls who get huge boobs when they're young and they don't want them. Me. And I think what's more relatable to like all girls is body problems.
Yeah,
like being
for
like,
sure.
How do I get skinnier? How do I make my waist smaller, my butt bigger, like those kinds of things? Is that like incessant like need to be like constantly Googling what you think is wrong about your body?
Yeah,
or like
totally.
When is it okay to shave my legs? Like those things I think are comparable to a girl.
I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the teenage girl experience on these topics is kind of like isolated. Like you're not talking to other girls about it because you're worried about what they think and if they're right or wrong.
Right.
And the boy one is very much like, we all got to work on this together.
Yeah, that's really funny.
But all the boys fuck it up and don't know what they're talking about. And one of them always is like, no, I know.
Yeah.
And gives terrible advice.
Right. I think the one thing that girls did like talk a lot about to each other was like shaving.
Because
like once you hit like age 10, 11, you start getting like armpit hair, leg hair and all of that. And then you start asking your friends like, are we starting to get rid of this? What are we doing? And they're like, well, my mom lets me shave. And then other girls are like, my mom doesn't let me shave. Or like, I remember, I don't know if this is like a universal thing or if it was just my friends, but I remember when we all started shaving our legs, one of my friends said that her mom said, her mom says that shaving above the knee is for sluts.
Oh, I've heard that before.
Only sluts shave above the knee.
Yeah.
I don't have a need to shave above the knee. I barely shave my legs anymore. I'm not a very hairy person. And so then the boys leave the stall and Craig is in the bathroom and sees all three of them come out of the stall. And JT's like, we can explain. And Craig's like, don't.
You don't need to explain.
Please don't. I'm begging you not to explain.
I don't think you did anything weird, and I don't want to know what weird thing you did.
I love how Craig is like consistently an ally.
Yeah.
Like at first he was like annoyed that JT was staring at his penis, but now that he thinks that JT was like, I don't know, sucking Toby's dick in the stall, he's like, what you do is your business. Like, this is between you and these two boys. Rick, I have it after this. I said Rick is walking around and getting systematically bullied. So that's when Rick is
getting bullied by the
montage. It's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
And so then we go to Miss Kwan's class and all the kids are going up and reading. I think it's not poetry. It's like a reading that speaks to you.
It was intended to be poetry, but yeah.
And Spinner goes up and reads the lyrics to a Kid Elric song, which are, I believe, I want a girl with beauty, I want a girl with class, but most of all, I want a girl with a bootylicious. And then Miss Kwan makes him stop.
Yeah.
And she's like giggling. She's like, oh, Gavin. She loves him.
Yeah.
Like she's like, and I love the consistency of Spinner still being in the grade below him, English, because that was eighth grade. He got held back in eighth grade and hasn't caught up since.
Still held back.
Well, I mean, he had to repeat eighth grade English, and now he's consistently in Emma's class for English.
Right.
Which I love.
The writers didn't forget.
No, they're really good continuity on this show, mostly. Like, there's a few things that, like, I believe they, like are, like, throwaway lines from characters in, like, season one about, like, their home life that, like, don't end up being true. Like, Manny saying she has a, like, when she, like, cried at Spinner on the first day of school, and then she's like, it worked on my brother. She has no brother. Right. Manny is an only child. But yeah, that's like one example. But there's a few of like bad continuity, but like there's also really good continuity. Mm. And that's one of them. So then Rick goes up and reads a quote from Gandhi about how it's weak to not be able to forgive. And forgiveness is a trait of strong people. Mm-hmm. And Spinner starts it in the class. He's like, I think throws like...
He crumples up his palm and throws it at him.
Throws paper at him. And all the kids are like, boo, you stink. Get off the stage. That's not what they're saying. No. But that's essentially the idea. and Miss Kwan has to stop it.
And sends Gavin to the principal's office.
Yes. JT comes to school and he used the pump. And Danny's like, good. First of all, why is JT listening to Danny, who is a year younger than him? Multiple years younger
How
than him.
How did Danny get involved in all of this?
I have no idea.
Just because he was at Liberty's house?
Yeah, and I love Danny being added to JT and Toby's.
He's a good addition.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Them
as a trio is fun. I hope that continues.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, so, like, he's telling Danny, like, I did it. I think it worked. And Danny's like, good. Now you just got to seal the deal with Manny. And so then JT goes and asks Manny to come over. Because his intention is to what?
Show her his penis. Just be like, see, it's bigger.
Like, I don't know if the objective was to have sex.
I think it was. He put candles out. He put mood music on.
Yeah, so maybe it was to either have sex or to have her touch his penis. Or just to prove to her that... what happened at the hot tub was just a bad day, I guess.
Yeah. At the hot tub, he was in the pool. He wasn't ready, but now he's
shrinkage.
Pumped. He's pumped and ready to go.
This is the true size of my penis. And Manny really wants to break up with him. She's talking to Liberty, and she's like, why is JT coming over here? And Liberty's like, because he's your boyfriend. Me.
What?
I'm kidding. why is he coming over here? Because he's your boyfriend. I love you. I'm kidding.
I love you too.
And so then Liberty's like, girl, you need to break up with him. You need to do it. Which, lest we forget, Liberty has had a years-long crush on one Mr. James Tiberius York.
Mm-hmm.
I find it hard to believe that she's doing this out of the good of her own heart.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
And they're not framing it in such a way that she is doing that. But right. I think that's what she's doing.
It doesn't seem possible that it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because she just struck out with Chris.
Yeah.
Emma got in the way.
Yeah.
And she clearly is like trying to get that little dick.
Yeah, she doesn't care. Liberty doesn't. If size doesn't matter to anyone, it's Liberty. I'm just saying, I think it was. I think the idea of her doing this in JT's best interest, that doesn't seem real.
In JT's best interest? Hell no. Maybe in Manny's best interest. I can see that.
Maybe.
There's a possibility she really believes that Manny would be better off.
Maybe.
But no. It's for herself.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I assume next episode is just all about Liberty trying to get that dick.
The tiny dick.
Give me those dimes, boy.
But Manny agrees that she does need to break up with him. And JT asks Manny to come over after school with what he is thinking, what is going to be him showing her his beautiful giant penis. And Manny looks over his shoulder at Liberty, and Liberty looks at her like, you know what you have to do. And Manny's like, sure, I'll come over, because she's like, I'm going to break up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Rick flags Emma down in the hallway and gives her a check for $500 to give to the charity that they're donating the money for the ribbons to. Mm-hmm. And Emma's like, we don't want your money. And then he's like, he hands her the check and she looks at it. She's like, $500? And he's like, $554.17 to be exact. And she's like, and Emma's like gobsmacked. She's like, that's a fucking ton of money. And she's like excited to be able to say she raised that much money mm-hmm. for this charity. But then Alex comes up and takes the check out of Rick's hand and is like, we don't want your fucking money. And
you're not going to buy forgiveness.
Right.
Yeah.
And Rick is like, sorry, I'm not moving. And Rick is like, fuck you, Alex, essentially. And he goes away and Alex starts walking away with the check. And Emma's like, can you give me that check, please? For the charity. Mm-hmm. And Alex turns to her and rips it up. Mm-hmm. And Emma's like, wow, nice, Alex. And she's like, and Emma's like, you don't really care about the cause, essentially, is what mm-hmm. she tells her. And Alex is like, oh, really? I don't care about the cause. Have you ever had to bandage up your mom? Have you ever had to ice her bloody lip? And it's like, oh, insight into Alex's home life. Mm. Interesting.
Alex is a really good liar. Interesting.
But
I know that obviously that was Alex character building, but I really mm-hmm. wanted to be that scene to be like, have you ever had to bandage up your mom? Have you ever had to ice your mom's lip? Well, me neither.
Me neither. But yeah. And but I wrote in my notes, Alex is like, what do you know about domestic violence? My mom is abused often. So then, yeah, I obviously we don't mean to make light of domestic violence.
No, of course not. No.
I just thought that my note taking was funny there.
No, and the reality of domestic violence, not funny, obviously, no. But Alex's delivery on it, pretty funny.
No, I don't think that was very funny.
Okay.
I'm being honest. I'm not just being contrarian.
No, yeah. I just mean like it was not a joke in this show.
Right.
That is not what I'm saying. But just like the whole
scenario.
The
fact that it was dramatic.
Yes.
You don't like dramatic.
Well, it was just so, yeah, I guess that is what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know. Cool.
But like Alex, I think I'm excited. I'm happy that this is one of the first things we know about her. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like we already know she's from the wrong side of the tracks. We know that she has an interest in politics. mm-hmm. And now we know what she deals with when she goes home. Mm-hmm. And that I think is really important to her character. And I think this is really when like the like actual character development really, really starts with the show, where we see the kids like really start to, you know, take their experiences and their home lives and what they've been through at school, away from school, and bring it to the plots in mm-hmm. school. I think that's, yeah. But yeah, it was a really interesting moment to like flesh out Alex more. And I also just love Alex and Emma's little rivalry. Mm. Like it's fun. Didn't they like, was last season when they had a fight? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely don't like each other.
Yeah, and I love that for them. Mm-hmm. I love that for them. And so Manny is in JT's room. She comes over, and he's like you said, lit candles. He has like, he made a cozy vibe in the room.
His shirt is unbuttoned a little bit
His
too far.
His shirt is unbuttoned. He looks a little bit like Fabio. And Manny sits on the bed, and...
First Manny's like, did you do something in here? Something different in here?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, just wanted to make it nice.
Yeah, he said make it cozy.
Cozy, yeah.
And so she sits on the bed and he goes to kiss her, but he's all sweaty. Can relate. I'm always sweaty when we kiss.
Me too.
That was the joke, yeah. You're very sweaty. I related to Manny hard this episode. I date a boyfriend who farts and jokes around a lot mm-hmm. and is sweaty when I kiss him.
Mm-hmm. But is also very mature when it matters and knows how to use his little dick.
Yeah. So then Manny is like, I have to go to the bathroom. And so she gets up And JT's like, and so he starts freaking out that she's not into it mm-hmm. yet. And so then he pulls out the pump
yeah.
to make his penis.
He's like, I gotta make it even bigger.
Yeah.
She wasn't into it. She hasn't seen it yet. So obviously it's too small still. So it's, I gotta make it bigger.
Yeah.
Which is like, the logic of pulling it out again is crazy. Insane. Because it's like, you know, she just went outside of that door and she could come back in at any time.
The way you just pointed at the door. That door.
And I pointed at my door. Just like, she could come in at any time. I better put away the podcasting material. I don't want her to know I'm talking about her.
Yeah. So outside the door, Manny is not in the bathroom. She is, in fact, psyching herself up to go break up with him. And he is putting his penis in the penis pump. And then she turns around.
In a way, they're both trying to psych themselves up.
Yeah. Yeah. And she turns around, opens the door again, only to see that he has his penis in a pump.
She doesn't know what it is.
And she's like, and she leaves.
Yeah.
And JT's like, oh, no. And so, you love that.
She doesn't leave right away, does she?
She does.
Oh.
She like goes in, sees him, her eyes go wide, and then she closes the door.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they have the conversation at school.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then we're at the dot where Rick goes, which like, why would you come back to the dot?
Dude, Rick.
After Emma threw you out with the authority that she has as as the dot's bouncer. You already got thrown out by the bouncer once.
Clearly they don't value you as a customer.
Yeah. They don't want your business, Rick. Why are you here?
They prefer Emma's business.
So Rick's there, and Paige is like, ugh, what is he doing here? And then Alex makes a quip that she thinks that Rick is here to see Emma. She's mm-hmm. like, oh, wait, but he's here to see his new girlfriend. And Emma's like, shut the fuck up, Alex. And Paige is like, what? And Alex tells Paige, like, oh, Emma and Rick were being pretty friendly earlier mm-hmm. Because Emma has a conscience and likes money.
Yeah, she conveniently leaves out the fact that what they were being friendly about was Rick giving Emma $500.
Yeah, yeah. And so Paige goes to Emma and is like, if you're chickening out on us and you're getting weak, like, you can't hang out with us anymore, mm-hmm. essentially. And so Emma's like, Paige asks her, like, are you wimping out? You're not wimping out, are you? And to prove that she's not, when Rick is taking his drink to go, she puts her foot out and trips him.
Yeah. Rick is like, hey, Emma. And she's like, I'm not having any of this. He yeah. doesn't respond to him. And then he walks by and she just kicks him, his feet out of under.
Yeah. And he falls and his drink goes flying everywhere.
The way he fell, I was like, oh my God, did Rick just break his head on a coffee cup?
So and it would be so funny.
Yeah.
If like it were like a, cosmic is not the word. Karmic. Yeah. If it were like a karmic like foil to what happened to Terry.
Yeah, exactly. I genuinely thought that's what happened because the way he fell, it looked like.
It was bad.
It looked really bad. And his coffee cup was kind of like in. It looked like he fell and cracked his head open on the coffee
yeah.
cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would have been crazy.
Yeah.
Emma accidentally kills a guy.
Hey, you're the one who keeps telling me Terry's not dead.
Right. So true. They didn't even say where she went.
No.
I could swear they say that she transfers schools at some point.
Not this episode.
She transferred schools. That's what happened. But I had told or you that they died. Would that they would say that she where she went.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know when that is.
I'm dating a liar.
I have no clue when they say it, but she did transfer schools. The logic here doesn't make much sense either.
Not at all.
When Rick falls and then Jay takes that as an affront.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, that's it." And it's like him falling on the ground? He didn't do
being
anything.
Hurt.
Maybe that's it. Maybe Jay was like, oh, you fell and now people feel bad for you. Can't have any of that.
Oh, you showed me that you're weak? Well, guess what? I'm gonna beat your ass then.
Yeah. So Jay gets up and he pulls Rick out into the alley to kick his ass. And he punches him. Emma screams for Jay to let him go because she's like, this has gone too far.
Yeah.
And Jay is like, shut the fuck up, Emma. And mm-hmm. Emma having to break up fights with Jay and other people, like, constantly.
She's way too small to have to do this.
Yeah. And so he's like, let him go. And he's like, shut up. And he punches Rick in the stomach bad.
And then breaks his glasses.
And then he asks, who's next? And then Alex is like, me. ooh, me. And she goes to take the next punch. And Emma is like, okay, well, this is a girl. I can take her. And she steps and she's like, I've taken Alex before. And she steps in front of Alex and grabs her wrist when she goes to punch Rick. And she's like, this has gone on long enough. Like, go. And Alex is like obviously mad at her. Because she doesn't.
And so
like
are Paige and
yeah, Spin everyone's
and everybody's pissed. Yeah.
Because they would rather see Rick.
They were ready to see some blood.
Yeah. They would rather see Rick get what they think he deserves. And so then that school the next day, like I said, we jump a lot of days. This episode takes place probably over the course of an entire week. Manny is coming to school and she's trying to walk past JT as if like she never wants to speak to him again.
She's weirdly running.
She's like running, like, get away from me. Yeah. like the little jog that people do when they see an unhoused person that they think is potentially dangerous. And they're like. And JT is like, I'm sorry. And she's like, don't talk to me.
But he's got flowers.
And he has flowers. JT. Yeah. And he's like, I was in the locker room and I saw Craig's situation and essentially I got intimidated. And Manny's like, you still think this is about your dick? She's like, you still think this is about your penis? It is not. It's about the fact that you are always farting and joking around. And I tapped my boyfriend on the knee.
And I farted.
and she's just like, you know what else Craig has that you don't have? Maturity. And I'm not talking about his size. I'm talking about his brain, his personality. And she's like, you're too immature. We need to break up. And she leaves him in the dust. And he's sad.
Poor little guy.
A little bouquet of flowers.
Poor little dick.
Yeah. Poor little guy. Poor little dick. And so then Rick comes to school and he thanks Emma for... first of all, he's wearing glasses from the sixth grade. And that's so relatable when your glasses break and then you have to wear glasses from 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I relate.
Been there.
And he thanks Emma for standing up for him. And she's like, that wasn't for you. It was just, you know, things got out of hand. And she's like, just because we stopped, it doesn't mean we're friends. Or just because I stopped, it doesn't mean we're friends. And then she asks him why he came back, which is what we've been asking this entire episode. And I actually I love the way they address it here. Like it is there are a lot of unanswered questions on this show that make how could anyone possibly do this or want this, or this motivation makes no sense. We were asking that question. Why would Rick come back here? He says, I like Degrassi. That's not a good enough response. But then he says, everyone here thinks I'm a bad guy. I want to prove them wrong, is what he essentially says.
I want to show them I'm capable of change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like that's, I think, for a person like Rick, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I mean, it's exactly why Donald Trump is running for president again.
Yeah.
We have to give people second chances.
No, that is not.
Oh, what?
That's not what we mean. And then we freeze frame on Emma's reaction to that line, which I found interesting.
Yeah.
Like I feel like if we freeze framed on Rick, that would be framing him as good.
I think so. And I think they freeze frame on Emma thinking about this because it's like, this is an episode where she should have been questioning her own behavior more. And in this moment, she finally is.
That's so true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like that. That makes a lot of sense. And I think we end on Emma questioning it also because we're meant to be questioning it.
Yeah.
We're meant to be like, is Rick worthy of forgiveness? Is Rick capable of change? And those two things are not mutually exclusive.
True.
I think where I stand is that Rick is capable of change, but I don't think anyone has to forgive him.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone has to forgive anyone because I love holding grudges. It's honestly probably one of my favorite things to do.
I think it is a healthier choice to forgive when somebody has proven remorse, mm-hmm. and not only remorse, but also why the only thing that's coming to mind is refrain, which is not right. Remorse and rehabilitation.
Oh, okay.
So like if there was a way for Rick to prove how sorry he was and that mm-hmm. he could actually control that behavior, then people should forgive him. But until that point, which mm-hmm. is a hard point to reach.
Yeah.
Then yeah, I agree with you. Nobody has to forgive him.
I can't think of a single time I've forgiven anyone.
Damn. That's good to know.
Well, I mean, like, okay, for example, like my mom and I have an interesting relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And she's done things to me that I don't, do I forgive her for that, for those things? Like, I don't necessarily know what it means to forgive someone, I don't think. Because, like, I still, at the end of the day, am hurt by those things, and I still think about them often, and they still affect every part of me. I don't hold them against her. Is that forgiveness? That I'm not holding it against her?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense then. Because, yeah, like, I think a lot of people's, you know, it's like, it's the classic forgive and forget thing, mm-hmm. where it's like, you can forgive, but you can't forget
mm-hmm.
thing, where I guess the forgiveness is not holding things over people.
Yeah, the forgiveness is saying, okay, I'm not going to be actively mad about this anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to forget you did that.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I think that's right. Because the forget informs your reaction to the next time somebody has a certain exactly. behavior. Like if people forget that Rick was an abuser, mm-hmm. then the next time he's an abuser, they're like, oh, man. He shouldn't do that. But
yeah.
if people remember, then they're like, hey, we already know this.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. How'd you like this episode?
Much better than the last few.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
I agree. Whew.
I mean, I hate Rick. I don't like seeing him. I wish he was dead. But
okay. Wow.
That's too strong. But I don't really want him around the show anymore. I don't need him. I don't need to forgive him. I don't feel a need for that. But I think that it is an interesting moral question, and the fact that I feel that way makes mm-hmm. it an interesting thing to put him back in.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that. I really enjoyed the JT plotline.
Of course you did. That was the one I was really excited for you to see.
I know. It sucks that he and Manny didn't work out. I really wanted that. I thought they were great.
I mean, they could work out in the future.
Yeah, they could. Mm-hmm. They could. He just needs to get a little bit more mature, and by that I mean longer penis.
Yep.
but yeah, I think I would say that this is the kind of Degrassi episode I like the most.
Yeah, it's a really good one. It's mm-hmm. a really good one. I love Emma being in her Menace era. I mm-hmm. think Emma is at her best, or at least at her most interesting, when she's being bad. Like,
yeah,
and that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't like Emma as a protagonist
mm-hmm.
because of these things. And I'm like, okay, but if she were just nice and good and perfect all the time, we'd think she was boring. Like I would much rather have this imperfect, annoying, abrasive, like girl as my lead.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want nothing less than to be watching a pretty blonde white girl be perfect. I want to see her be bad. Mm-hmm, and I think mm-hmm. that's the beauty of Emma's character. And I love this plot line for her. I think it's so good. Cause like, I think it also mirrors the plot line in season one, when Manny was going out for cheerleading
yeah.
and Emma was so against Manny being a sexist bimbo mm-hmm. and cheerleading with Paige. But now Emma's like, I'm going to go sip a frap with Paige.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun in your hot tub. Like, I think like she, one, is a hypocrite, and two, like, she's not immune to those kinds of like, worldly is not what I mean, but like those kinds of like, you know,
based desires.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like she wants to be seen. She wants popularity.
Mm-hmm.
I think her seeking that in the only way she knows how, and then that ending up being like detrimental to somebody. And I think also this is not what's expressly stated in the episode, but Emma recognizing that as a white woman, she has power to like affect an entire school. Mm-hmm. Like, if, you know, somebody complains, like, okay, yeah, great example. Marco and Alex went to Radich and complained. And then Radich did nothing. Granted, Marco and Alex are both white. It's questionable if Alex is actually Latino.
Okay.
Deanna Casaluce, who plays her, is not. Deanna Casaluce is Italian.
Yeah, they're both Italian.
But Alex's last name is Nunez. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think she's meant to be Latina.
Yeah, for sure.
That's always up in the air.
I don't know how that's up in the air. Nunez is pretty definitive.
Right. Yeah. They never just like, but they never like expressly state that that's her ethnicity. Okay. And so like they went to Radich, a gay man and a probably Latina woman went to Radich. Nothing happened. Mm-hmm. A white woman went and whined to the whole class and influenced everybody's opinion of mm-hmm. one person. Mm-hmm. So Emma realizing her power as a privileged person to, you know, influence things for better or for worse is an interesting plot line.
Definitely. Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think about that at all.
Yeah. I think if one were to do that plot line today, it would be way more interesting and cool.
Yeah.
Because we have so many things that white feminism can affect when, you know, you're going against, more marginalized groups.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many more things nowadays, like so many more hot button topics that could have been dealt with in that same way.
Definitely.
And
going back to Emma as a protagonist, mm-hmm. I feel like something that makes her great in these roles is that she always is so sure she's doing the right thing when she is clearly not.
Yeah.
Or even is questionably not. Which,
exactly.
I think, yeah. I think it's a really good point or a really good illustration of that kind of person.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. So what would you rate this episode?
I'm going to give this episode 4 dimes stacked on top of each other.
Good one. Good one. Good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, I give this one. I'm going to also go 4.
Mm-hmm.
4 crushed glasses on the ground.
Yeah, I just think it really brought it on all plots mm-hmm. in a way that was both light and detailed.
Yeah.
So like there was nothing that felt like it wasn't covered with grace in the way that it needed to be, but also it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like interesting. Mm-hmm. And every scene was like the last couple episodes we were falling asleep a little bit.
Oh god.
Yeah. But this every scene was boom 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 interesting mm-hmm. in this one. Alternatively, I would say 4 green tea frappuccinos.
You mean matcha frappuccinos.
Yeah. So then where do you see this plot going?
I guess Rick is going to be around and mm-hmm. maybe Rick and Emma have more interactions. Maybe Rick and Paige have more interactions.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like him as a foil to Paige makes more sense than as like a love interest for Emma or anything.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to go that way.
I guarantee you it's not.
Yeah. Good, yeah. Yeah. Probably the Alex and Emma feud is going to blow up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to guess, like, we're probably going to find out Spinner has a small dick at some point. No, I don't know who Manny goes after next, but probably Craig.
Okay.
And JT and Liberty, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. JT and Liberty, you think, are going to get together?
No, but I think Liberty is going to try.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
God, we've got 22 episodes.
Oh.
I forget that's how long seasons are back in the day. okay. Great, great, great predictions. The next episode is season 4, episode 5, and it is called Anywhere I Lay My Head.
Mm.
And our main player in it is Ellie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think obviously we're gonna find out that Ellie and her mom are not doing so hot. So Ellie's gonna ask Sean if she can move in over there. Mm-hmm. And Sean's gonna be like, okay, sure, but my favorite thing in this house is my bed frame. And she's gonna be like, oh, that's the one thing I have to replace. I just really have to replace that because it just doesn't look right, and it is kind of a piece of shit. And Sean's going to be like, I know it's a piece of shit, but it's my piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other guesses?
Yeah. My real guess is that it does have to do with Ellie and Sean, who Sean we've already dealt with, kind of like his home situation being in flux. So obviously Ellie's is going to be in flux this time. I do think it's possible that she ends up staying a night at Sean's, but probably this is an episode where we rehome Ellie.
Interesting.
I don't know if she lives with Emma or that'd be a crazy packed house. So someone else maybe.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we're figuring out a new place for her to live.
Okay.
Because her situation with her mom is untenable.
It is. It is bad. Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Great. Great prediction.
Thank you.
Based on this episode, season 4, episode 4, Mercy Street, are you a Degrassi fan?
Well, I think the themes of the episode, redemption and forgiveness, go really far in addressing this question, because I do feel like this episode redeemed the last few and made me feel some forgiveness for the show.
Ooh.
Am I a fan? No, but it's ticking in the right direction.
Nice, nice, nice. Okay, then. Okay, do you have any questions for me?
Having to watch a relationship like ours play out on screen in a negative way, where Manny says, "I can't deal with your childish behavior because I'm too beautiful and smart for you," instead of your gracious, loving soul saying, "You're exactly what I need." Did you feel like pulling a Manny and breaking my heart?
The question you're supposed to ask is,
do you still love me?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do still love you. I do still love you.
Good.
Though I was watching it like, damn, Manny's 15 and she's through with this nonsense. I'm 28.
Fortunately, I bring a lot more to the table than
you
JT
do
in
you
the
do.
Penis department.
Thank you for that. All right, well, we did it. It feels like we record for a really long time.
It felt like it.
Where can the people find you on social media?
I'm at Ezra Parter on Instagram, at Ezra Parter on TikTok and Twitter. My show, The Daily Misinformer, is on all the things at Daily Misinformer. My improv team, Headbutt, is at UCB, on the UCB stage in LA, or at Headbutt Comedy. And my sketch group, Public Breakup, is at Public Breakup. Follow any of those or just me to find out when we're performing.
Beautiful. You can follow me at OMG It's Key on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow the podcast at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast on Instagram, or you can follow us or you can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com. All right. Yay.
Yay.
We did it.
We're high-fiving.
Yay. Okay. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Good night. Who's that Pokemon? It's Rick.